Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This is a bit of a rhetorical question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow and you can answer. How many of you enjoy food? Enjoy it? I mean, I know we need it to survive, right? But there's a difference between, you know, like when I was a teenager, and it's just like I just needed volumes of food. It didn't even have to be great, right? But, you know, as I have gotten older, there's been an unfolding enjoyment of food. You know, back when I was young, it would just give me silage. It didn't matter, right? The furnace was always burning. And of course, you know, I've been living with a marvelous cook and baker for a lot of years. And just so many other things just seem so below standard now. You know, she has raised the bar. So I'm grateful for that. At the same token, it creates a little bit of trouble. A little extra weight, high cholesterol, you know, all that stuff that she did to me. No. I want to talk to you this morning about maybe coming into a season where you and I can maybe evaluate and with a little greater intensity realign some things between us and the Lord. And that's a choice and a decision that we make, but I want you to hear the call this morning. I want you to hear a call in this. Not a mandatory thing, not a religious thing, but the call. And I want the Holy Spirit to quicken our hearts about this. And I believe the Lord is calling us collectively into a time of fasting and prayer. And at the near the end of the message, I'm going to have the ushers come, and they're going to hand these out. I'm just going to ask that maybe one per family. If you got to take a couple, no problem. We'll make more and make them available next week. And then what I'm going to hand you is an emphasis of where we can read in Scripture, not to replace what you're doing in your personal devotions and your personal time or the study book that you're reading, but for this to be an addition. And it's not a weighty call. It's just a chapter a day in the book of Acts. You just read at least a chapter a day in the book of Acts. If you just can't help yourself and you have to read more, when you finish the last chapter, I believe the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, then go back and start it again. And I want this to be an addition for us as a church body, to read through the book of Acts between now and near the end of April and just keep that on our daily prayer, our daily Bible reading, and keep it going. If you miss a day, just jump back on the wagon the next day, okay? Don't let days go by. But if we could read at least one chapter a day in the book of Acts. And the fast will have some dates. You do not have to fast every day from now till April 24th. That's when the fast will end, but there's scheduled days. and scheduled emphasis of prayer. And so you're going to have calendar dates. You're going to have some instructions on what to fast. There are some clarifications in this that I want you to read. Like when we think about fasting and it's like, well, I can't fast because I have diabetes or I have this health issue. Or on one of the days we're scheduled to fast, I don't know, you came down with the flu. I go through that in here to clarify and want you to know that there's an exemption. The Hebrews, God's people in the Old Testament, they would not allow anyone to fast if they were sick. They looked at it as if it was a sin if you fasted when you were sick or had a disease. You see, God has instructions and calls and demands, but he's full of grace and truth. And so a fast is in this direction and the reading, I want you to hear this. This is a call and a commitment that is, you know, being brought to you, but this is seasoned with grace and mercy. Listen, I know what it is to set a fast and to have so many days, and I know what it is to fail. I know what it is that I'm just so hungry. And to be honest with you, it wasn't so much the hunger that drove me to break it. It was just my undisciplined desire to want to have a piece of that bread. And so what I've learned to do over the years, rather than be swallowed up in guilt, is just say, you know what, I just need to keep going. Just need to keep going. And it's not like that one moment ruined the whole thing. Because it's a process of spiritual discipline and seeking the Lord to be turning down the volume on our flesh. When I say flesh, I don't mean just our body, just turning the volume down on the voice of the world and all the stuff. I mean, we still have responsibilities that we need to carry out each day. It's not like, hey, I'm fasting, kids. I'm not cooking, so too bad for you. You have children? I want you to know, in Hebrew tradition, they didn't allow their children to start experiencing fasting until they were about 12 or 13 years old. These fasts in here, they're for about a day. Some are from starlight until starlight, a little more than maybe 24 hours. And so I just want you to know that as we walk through this and you go through this, if it's like, well, I'm off the hook, I've got this health issue, I don't have to be a part of the fasting, well, that doesn't exclude you. There are other things in our life that we can offer a fast. To spend more time in prayer and more time in His Word, and to turn the volume of our flesh and the voice of the world and our natural desires down, to allow the volume of God's voice and His Spirit and turn the volume way up. I don't know how many of you have done any fasting in your life. And so, you know, when you look at this, there's going to be some days that it's not just food. Sometimes it's scheduled to be food and drink. Sometimes it will be food and social network. I'd rather fast food. Yeah. And by the way, in here, when you see the word fast and food put together, that does not mean that, oh, today I have to go to McDonald's or, you know, Wendy's or some other place. It just simply means don't put food in your mouth. you do the best that you can. To turn the volume of God's voice and the Spirit in your life. There are different reasons that you'll find throughout Scripture where they deliberately fasted. Whether it was God calling them to a fast, they called themselves to a fast to offer themselves to the Lord. And it's really just to turn down and crucify the flesh and allow the Spirit to thrive. And we want to live like that every day, but there are seasons and emphases where you and I, we need to realign, we need to refresh, we need to renew. We get cluttered and we tend to collect things along the way. And not that all of it is bad or that all of it is detrimental. It's just turning it down and turning our hearts fully to the Lord. You know, they would fast to humble themselves before the Lord. They would fast food to intensify prayer. You know, and for them, you know, it was mostly fasting food and sometimes food and drink. And you know, they didn't deal with social network, or, you know, they weren't absorbing television for hours. They, you know, that wasn't around. And here's the difference too, and why there's this grace and mercy that I believe God extends to us. Not that He's not calling us to a fast, and that it's going to be difficult and it's going to be hard. But you know, anytime you crucify the flesh and you sow to the Spirit, it's amazing how many interruptions try to come into your life. Right? And so it's going to happen. And so as you embark on this and respond to this call, it's between you and the Lord. It is not between you and the pastor, or you and your friend, or you and your spouse. Or we want to encourage one another, but this is between you and the Lord. So you don't need to tote around, "Well, I'm fasting today. I would go to lunch with you." "Well, I'll go to lunch with you, but I won't be eating because I'm holy." This is private. It's between you and the Lord. And it will interrupt your schedule. I've gone out to eat with people during a fast. I don't eat. Or I've done this, that the relationship with them and reaching them and caring for them was more important than me sitting there having water and some toast. Because the spirit of the fast is about caring for people. Now, please, on a day of fasting, don't say, "Well, Pastor said I could go out with somebody and eat. I'm going to call somebody. We're going out to the Freight House or Waterfront or wherever for a steak." That's not the point. They didn't just fast in the Old Testament, they fasted in the New Testament. You'll find it in places like in the book of Acts, which you're going to read. You'll find it in the book of Acts, chapter 13, around verse 1 and 2, where it says, "They were together worshiping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them to set aside Barnabas and Saul," who became Paul, "set them aside for the ministry that I have called them to." It's interesting how much we begin to hear the voice of the Lord when we earnestly seek Him, we fast, we pray. It's amazing how sensitive we can get to the voice of the Lord. So this isn't just about, "Well, I've got to do this discipline, and I got to go without food, because that's going to somehow make me holy." No, this is not asceticism. It's not about just, "I'm doing this to just, you know, cause my flesh to suffer. It's about the spiritual dynamic that happens in our life and our walk with the Lord. See, the motive is to worship and to allow Him to redirect our hearts towards Him more. In calling this fast in this direction, I don't think it's some judgment on us in the sense that New Life people, they are so corrupt, their hearts are so far from me, they better fast because they really need to turn their hearts towards me. And I don't think it's that. But I do think that you and I could realign more with the voice of the Lord, our prayer life, answered prayer, spiritual dimension and power that comes, that we were created and designed for, that God had to redeem. And there's responsibility in it for you and I. Our faith and our works and decisions, they all move together. And understand, this is not just about an avoidance of indulgence. That's not what it is. It's about learning to crucify the flesh a little more and really take a season and sow to the Spirit. I think the Lord wants to do something in your lives, in our lives collectively. Amen. And most of all, it's just getting closer to Him. It's not just this, if I fast and pray, then you are obligated to, here's my list. That's not it. It's to know Him, it's to become more like Him. And when we start walking that close with the Lord, He shows up, we are more open, He uses us, our prayers are more effective. And so you will find all of this in Scripture. In the Old Testament, they would fast because of a crisis in warfare. They would call a fast depending on what was happening on the battlefield, who they were at war with, what crisis happened. They fasted sometimes because they were mourning loss. You will see them fast as a national confession. We are going to repent as a nation and as a people. Now, I want you to know this grace and mercy that comes to us. Things were a little different. You need to know that the Hebrew people, that nation of people, their culture and traditions and way of life was built upon their relationship with God. So when they called like a fast, they didn't have to go to work. They had to do some things at home and take care of the necessities, but they would fast and they would pray, and they didn't have bosses going, I'm sorry, you're not coming to work. Why? You and I live in a different culture and a different time and a different tradition. They could rest some while they fasted. You and I, we're going to the office, we're going to meetings, we're going to kids' games and kids' events, and you know, we've got this schedule, and some of that needs to come down for a day. But most of us can't just take off work, and so this demand of fasting, and yet I've got to work, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. God sees, He knows, He understands. It doesn't get us off the hook, but there is a dispensation of grace and mercy that goes along with that. You're fasting food and water for the day, and you've got a long day ahead because of responsibilities and work, and you got meetings with the boss and the supervisor, and you got to, and you're like, Lord, I'm getting so dehydrated and I've got all this stuff to do. I haven't been able to just sit on a couch or walk around the house. And I'll just tell you, drink the water. Don't move into guilt. It's going to be a demand on your body, but it's going to bring a great, great move of God's Spirit into your spirit and soul. And these are responsibilities and biblical patterns and principles and spiritual disciplines that we see. They fasted on certain days because it caused them to remember tragedy in their history. It was a testimony to their children to remember, and that they didn't know, but this is what happened in our history, and this is what God has done, and we offer ourselves to the Lord, and the children would be trained in this. It would cause them to remember history. They did also things like personal fasting. David did this as an example. When he had a child, a young child that was threatened to die, he went and sat in the presence of the Lord and sought the Lord, and he would not take food or drink until the child passed. You'll see him in the scripture. It says, I fasted and chastened my soul by fasting. You find it in Psalm 69:10. Prayers and fasting, and for this, I just want you to know, for this to count, for this to really matter, to move our heart toward the Lord and for Him to hear our prayers, we have to have a heart of repentance, a turning away from the things that He convicts us about that we know aren't right, and to change those things and ask for His help and to turn our heart to Him and humble ourselves that I'm not God, you are. I'm not self-sufficient. I need your help. And so I'm going to honor you. I'm going to set myself aside and put you at the forefront. These are some of the things that fasting was about. It was about deep devotion. It was about cultivating humility. God gives grace to who? The scripture says, God gives grace to the humble. But He resists the proud or the arrogant. We fast for a deepening devotion and cultivating humility. We fast because we want God's gracious intervention in our life and in the lives of others. It's about this redemption covenant that we have. You'll see, like in Isaiah 58 and Joel chapter 1 and Joel chapter 2, where fasting is referenced and God calls a fast, and it's about repentance and realignment and crisis and for breakthroughs spiritually. You have to remember that you and I will never win a spiritual battle based upon our scheming, our talents, our just hard work. You can throw all of that in there, but that will never win a spiritual battle. You have to fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. So I just believe that we're going to enter together into a season of fasting, intensified more prayer, more scripture, and set ourselves apart. And be united in our prayers. Be united as one body, doing and moving together in a spiritual discipline and a spiritual endeavor and in spiritual victory. And part of us doing this is not only for ourselves, but the fasting and the prayer and listening more to Him and His Spirit and His leading and His calling, it's going to also benefit others. We get the privilege of joining in and paying the price for the blessing of others. That your prayers will carry more influence in the Spirit because you turn the volume way down in the flesh and to turn the volume way up in the spiritual life. Scripture will become something that you just start to have insight to and understanding because the Holy Spirit is responding to your faithfulness and obedience to a spiritual discipline and fasting and prayer. I know that this is not a super fun message, but this is a call. You and I have the choice to answer calls in our life. Amen. Once again, it's between you and the Lord. It genuinely is. You don't need to let anybody know what you're doing or if you struggle through it. If you want to share it with a brother or sister in the Lord, you go ahead and do that and pray together. Say, you know, I need you to be praying for me. This is going to be a challenge for me. This is going to be difficult for me. I know coming into tomorrow, it's just going to be so tough. Would you please be praying for me that the Lord would just help me and sustain me and keep me moving? So New Life, Assembly of God, Church, there's the call for the next season here through April 24th. And the Bible reading, the book of Acts, that can start right away, but the fasting, that doesn't start until February 16th. So for the next 15 days, the buffet will be busy, right? I want you to be praying for one another. I want you to pray for somebody who's in need and watch God respond. Watch the spiritual victory come in a greater way because of fasting and prayer and turning the flesh down and the spirit up. Ushers, would you help me out, please? Would you just come and grab these handouts and maybe give a few to Brendan here, and he's going to help in the center aisle. As I looked, Ashley, our wife, was already, see, she's in the spirit already. She just, yeah. Give him some. He can go down the center aisle. Yeah. My wife didn't take one. Could everybody extend their hand this direction? No, I'm kidding. She's in the office. She's got a copy. She's got an email on it. She's got mine, all of that. I was just messing with you. So this morning, not a traditional sermon by any stretch, but I want you to hear the call, the voice of the Lord. I knew there was danger in giving this to you now, but I wanted to get it into your hands rather than at the very end, the service. If there's not enough, we will print more. We're going to make some available if we run low. They'll be out on the information counter in the following weeks, okay? So, this is why I didn't want to hand them out now, because I actually need to read the scripture so we can go to communion. And I know you're distracted by that paper in your hand, but I want you to know that you can read it later. The start date isn't for a few days. Okay. Yeah. In my spirit, I'm just so excited about this, doing this together. I want you to know that. Now, if we could turn our focus to the Lord's Supper. Once again, if you came in and didn't get communion emblems and you believe upon the Lord as your Savior, you believe in Jesus, you're following Him, you need help following Him, He knows that, I need help from Him. But your faith is in the Lord. I want you to know you can celebrate communion with us if you'd like. Ushers, if there are extras, just put them on a chair in the back. We'll collect them. You can just, there were no extras? Did every family get one? Okay. We will print more and have them available for you by Wednesday. So those of you who come on Wednesday night, they'll be out and available for you on Sunday. Troy, would you do me a favor and call Sue? Tell her she doesn't need to make copies now. I want her in here. She can celebrate communion. I appreciate her sacrificing her time to do that, but just tell her to come on back in. You can wait. You don't need that handout to start reading the book of Acts. Okay? And the schedule for fasting, you have a couple weeks yet. So.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.